सुसेगा दोंपर आइकोपियांग मोजो माय मोगा चा यो कार हम फ्रेंकी फर्नांडिस मेलबर्न ऑस्ट्रेलिया सोन तुम कां यो गोइंचो खबर कोकनीतान पाविता आज अगस्ताची 2 तारीख सुरुवाते खबर हंगा ऑस्ट्रेलिया सोन नोवोच मेंबर ऑफ पार्लियामेंट फॉर मॅकफर्सन क्विन्सलँड आमचो गोंयकार लियोन रिबेलो हाणें आपले पयलेंच भाषण ऑस्ट्रेलियाच्या पार्लियामेंट हातून दिले आनी आपले फॅमिलीचे दिनवास आनी ऑस्ट्रेलिया देश हाचे वॅल्यूज राखून दवरपाक योगदान आसतलो म्हण आश्वासन दिले.
इट इज विथ डीप ह्युमिलिटी अँड इमेन्स प्रायड दॅट आय राइज टू डिलिव्हर माय फर्स्ट स्पीच इन दिस हाऊस एज द न्यूली इलेक्टेड मेंबर फॉर मॅकफर्सन. Not long ago, I sat in this chamber, not as a participant in debate, but as a parliamentary attendant, a silent observer to the great conversations that shape our nation. I listened, I learned, and I grew in my resolve to one day add my voice to the legacy of our national story. Today, that day has come, and I rise with gratitude to my community, with reverence for this institution and our great democracy, and with a commitment to serve with integrity, energy, and purpose. My presence here today is a testament to our national character, that someone who once sorted mail in the basement of this very building can ascend from humble beginnings to define the future of our nation as a member of parliament.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm proud to be the first to make this journey, but I sincerely hope I'm not the last. I feel blessed that I had a remarkable childhood. I benefited from a world-class education, a multicultural family that embraced a global perspective, the freedom to practice my faith freely, and the love and support of a strong family unit. My father's a tradie, an electrician and refrigeration mechanic. My mother, a dedicated public servant, still working in the service of her country to this day. To get ahead, they worked second jobs, took risks to invest in property and small business, and never questioned their obligation to stand on their own two feet. Weekends weren't for rest. They were for renovating houses for extra money and printing tickets for milk bottle deliveries as part of our family business. We were optimistic, not because we had wealth, but because we believed in effort. And when our hard work paid off, we felt pride in having earned the rewards. Together we supported each other as much as we relied upon one another. We were a family. My upbringing was a traditional middle-class Australian story. It was grounded in values of personal responsibility, self-determination, and respect for the institutions on which Australia was built. As migrants, my parents never let a day pass without reminding me to hold a deep and profound gratitude for all that Australia made possible. I stand in this place because of their quiet patriotism and because they raised me to believe in Australia, in her promise, and that service in her name is a tremendous calling.
ऑस्ट्रेलियाची लिसावा मार्च 4 तारखेक जाल्ली आणि ह्या सुमारात लियोन पहिलेच पावट पार्लमेंट हातून आपले भाषण दिले. दुसरी खबर, गोंयच्या विधानसभेचे मन्सून सेशन हाच्या बाबतीन खबर. गोंयकारांची मागणी रोमी लिपी कोंकणी स्कुलांत शिकोवची हाच्या बाबतीन रेझोल्युशन गोंयच्या बीजेपी सरकारान नाकारले. हे रेझोल्युशन हाच्या बाबतीन उलयताना काँग्रेस पक्षाचो आल्दोनचो आमदार एडवोकेट कार्लोस आल्वारेस फरेरा हाणे विधानसभेत हे सांगले.
आम्ही पार्टी लाईन्स क्रॉस करून आता रोमी लिपी इंट्रोड्यूस केल्या कित प्रॉब्लम जातलो इस्कुलान. फकत एक सेक्शन वयतलो. आयज तुम पळय कोंकणी आसा, थोडे फ्रेंच आसा, थोडे मराठी आसता, एक सेक्शन आसतलो. ते भुरग्यांक कोण शिंकू जाय ते शिंकले तांकां. कोण देवनागरी जाय जाल्यार देवनागरी. कित्याक आमचे आतां हे डॉक्युमेंट आहात ते आमचे वाचूच आसना. मागीर आमी हायर करूंक पडटले, भाड्यान हाडूंक पडटले लोकांक स्पेशली हाडपाक वाचपाक. मागीर ट्रान्सलेट म्हूण करपाक पडटले आमकां. असो डिफिकल्टी आसतलो. कित्याक ते पुर्तुगेज डॉक्युमेंट आनी कोंकणी. लोकांक पुर्तुगेज ते कळचना, ते कोंकणी वाचून कळचना तांकां. सो माय ओनली रिक्वेस्ट इज मुगे कितें मागणें कितें. आमी सगळे एकठांय रावून, हांव देवनागरी कार्ड म्हूण ना, हांव ऑफिशियल लँग्वेजाचे उलयना. हांव फकत कितें म्हणटा, स्क्रिप्ट फॉर लर्नींग. मातशें हें समजून घे. इन स्कूल
स्पीकर सर, एनईपी झाल्या उपरांत हाजेर कमिटी फॉर्म जाल्ली आनी हातूंत सगळे एड्युकेशनिस्ट आशिल्ले.
सगळ्या स्कुलांचे जे वेगवेगळे हेड्स ही कमिटी प्रिप्रेझेंट करतले इन्क्लुडिंग द डायसेशन सोसायटी मेंबर्स आर ऑल्सो ऑन दॅट कमिटी आणि त्यांच्यानी सगळ्यांनी डिसाईड करून हो विषय म्हणजे म्हाका दिसता लेजिस्लेचरांनी डिसाईड करच्या पेक्षा एड्युकेशनली डिसाईड करप हो योग्य असता कारण ते भुरग्यांक कितलीशीच वर्सां म्हणजे जसे 1962 बद्दल हांवें ज्या कमिशनचो जसो रिपोर्ट दिलो तशीच ही कमिटी एनईपीची प्री प्रायमरी लेवल प्रायमरी लेवल एड्युकेशनिस्टांची कमिटी आशिल्ली आणि त्यांच्यानीच मेळून नवीन एड्युकेशन पॉलिसी सुद्धा रिजनल लँग्वेजीन लायता असताना ती देवनागरी लिपी आसची दे आर द एड्युकेशनिस्ट आणि ते ठरयतात की बाबा भुरग्यांक खंयची लँग्वेज बरी आणि किती ती त्या खातीर म्हाका दिसता स्पीकर सर आम्ही कन्सिडरींग द एनईपी जे सध्या डिसाईड झाला त्यांच्यानी एड्युकेशनिस्ट सगळे बसून हितूर खंयचोच म्हणजे पर्टिक्युलरली हो आशिल्लो तो आशिल्लो न्ही जाय जाल्यार परत एकदा ते काढून बसून एडवोकेट कालुसांनी फाटले फावटी एकदा न्यू एड्युकेशन पॉलिसीच्या बाबतीत त्यो कमिटी त्यो रिफरही केल्ल्यो आणि त्यांनाय त्यांच्यानी सांगिले हावजान म्हाका याद आसा त्या कमिटीनी जेव्हा देवनागरी लिपीक आसची हे ठरयला ज्यांना कोणाक जर शिकपाक जाय रोमी कोकणी असत दालगादा अकादमीक सांगात तुम्ही कोकणी अकादमीचे सेपरेटली म्हणजे शिकोपाकूय त्यांना स्पेशली सुरू करात त्यांना जर किती सपोर्ट जाय ज्यांना शिकपाक इन्स्टिट्युशन म्हणजे प्रायमरी लेवलाचे इंट्रोड्यूस करून न्ही ड्यू रिस्पेक्ट टू यू दालगादा अकादमी आम्ही ऑलरेडी ग्रँट दिता आणि दोज वॉन्ट टू मेक देअर लिटरेचर आणि रोमी कोकणी तर करू जाय लेट देम मेक आम्ही त्यांना ना म्हणना.
आणि एक महत्वाची खबर कुर्तोरीचो आमदार रिजनल लोरेन्सो हाणें युएसए ह्युस्टन टेक्सस हांगा कांय गोंयकार जे बेकायदेशी रावतात आनी गंभीर परिस्थितींत सांपडल्यात हाचे बाबतींत मुखेलमंत्री प्रमोद सावंत हाचे लागीं हे गोंयकारांक आदार दिवचो म्हूण आश्वासन मागला.
जेन्ना तूं थंय रावता यो इलिगल जे पासपोर्ट एक्सपायर जाली पुलीस क्लियरन्स हाडपाक गेलो काय ना ताका भितर उडयतले सो दे हॅव टू बी गिवन वी हॅव डन 2-3 केसीस वी हॅव मॅनेज चीफ मिनिस्टराक उलयन आमी दोन केसीसांनी इंटरव्हीन करून दोग जाण हाडले डायरेक्शन्स मे बी गिवन स्पेशली चीफ मिनिस्टराक बरोय न्ही वो आमकां जो तर एक हें करूं मेळटा रिक्वेस्ट करूं मेळटा एमईए टू अलाव देम टू ट्रॅव्हल तेंगे जो तर कितें पुलीस क्लियरन्स आसा कितें केस आसा जाल्यार तेंकां अमेरिकन एअरपोर्टाचेर तेंक धोतले ना जाल्यार इंडिया कितें जो तर इश्यू आसा जाल्यार इंडियन एअरपोर्टाचेर धोतले.
खबर आतां आमच्या गोंयांत बंद आसात तीं घरां वो आमचे सारखे गोंयकार जे भायल्या देशांत रावतात आनी तांची घरां गोंयांत बंद आसा हाचे बाबतीन हीं घरां गोंय सरकार एक नवें बील हाचो उपयोग करून आपले ताब्यांत घेवंक तयार जातात आनी आयज आमचे लागीं एक गोंयकार भाव डॅरल दा कॉस्टा आनी एक म्हत्वाची म्हायती दिता. डॅरल जल्मल्लो हांगा ऑस्ट्रेलिया सिडनी पूण आपले तशे दुसरे गोंयकारांचे पुर्वजांचे भाट बेस सांबाळपाक लागून गुंतलेलो आसा. ताणें askpedru.com ही एक वेबसायट चालू केल्या आनी आमकां म्हायती दिता.
I grew up hearing stories about my ancestors' village in Goa, about the land my grandparents spent so long taking care of, about the mango trees they planted, about the neighbours. I spent years working across Sydney and London in the banking sector, but deep down there was always something drawing me to Goa. And in 2016, I took the plunge to move to Goa and take care of my family's ancestral land. This journey home has taken me down a really unexpected path. In my mother's ancestral village of Arpura, a man had stolen my grandfather's land. Not just ours, many also lost their land. Using forged papers, legal loopholes, and silence. As I began to investigate these scams, I realized something bigger was going on. These scams thrive in the shadows. They rely on small notices printed in newspapers that no one ever really sees. So that's why I created AskPedro.com. It's a simple idea, but it's my way of fighting back. Each day I go through Goa's 12 daily newspapers and pull out all real estate related notices. Since June 2022, I've collated over 30,000 notices. Each notice could provide a clue to help you protect your property. And this is no longer just my fight. On 10th of July, the government passed a law allowing them to take over hairless properties. So if your paperwork is old, if your property is still in your grandfather's name and you're living abroad, somebody could come in and claim no hairs exist. And just like that, what's been in your family for generations could be taken away. So what can we do about this? First, update your property records. If your grandparents' names are still in the record of rights, update them. Do an inventory. Talk to a good lawyer. I know it's a headache. I know it's documentation. But trust me, it's even more difficult when your land has been taken away. And two, sign up to AskPedro.com. It's a free service. If there's a public notice to take over a heirless property, it'll be on my website. And if you've set an alert, you'll receive an email notification giving you a chance to intervene and save your family's future. Our land is more than just property. It's our stories. It's our roots. It's our promise to the next generation. Stay alert. Stay informed. Let's protect what our ancestors trusted us to keep safe.
तर ह्यो जाण असले आमचे कांय सुसेगाद दनपार गोंयच्यो खबरो मेलबर्न ऑस्ट्रेलिया सावन मेळुया दुसऱ्या सोमारांत ते मेरेन मोग आसून दी.
यो तुम्ही ऐकता सुसेगाद दनपार कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्राम 104.100 प्लॅनेट एफ एम आवर दम माय मोगो सहयोगकार सर्व ऐकतल्यांक हांव रिची उलयता आनी म्हज्या सांगात आज आसा म्हजो इस्ट बॅप्टिस्ट लोबो.
हॅलो.
आनी आमचो आमची गेस्ट सिंथिया सेनगुप्ता आनी आमचो एक स्पेशल गेस्ट एल्टन डेमेलो. वेलकम टू अवर प्रोग्राम सिंथिया एंड एल्टन.
थँक यू व्हेरी मच
फॉर हॅव्हिंग अस ऑन द शो.
सो टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू टॉक अबाउट वी बिक बिट अबाउट the immigration laws in New Zealand. What are the options available for people who want to migrate to New Zealand? But at the same time, we have Elton here, who is on a student visa, who is qualified as a mechanical engineer.
Yes.
He has got a few questions. He's struggling to get a good placement. So before we go to you, Elton, let's ask Cynthia to introduce herself, because you are, you know yourself much better than us.
Yes, my name is Cynthia Sengupta. I am an immigration advisor, a licensed immigration advisor. I have been in the New Zealand immigration business in the immigration business area for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. I have a company called All About Immigration. That's over 9 years old. I used to first work with Immigration New Zealand. After that, I worked as an academic tutor teaching the diploma in immigration advice. And I also do a lot of volunteer work at the Auckland Law Center. No one can know everything about immigration. It's just one of those areas that is ever-changing and the policies change. So we're always trying to keep up with the whatever is coming in that's new. My phone number is 021-048-6721. Do contact me. I have an office in Henderson. My email address is aailcynthia@gmail.com. Again, my company is All About Immigration. So in a world with borders, rules and change, where immigration laws feel out of range, we stand as guides with a steady flame. All About Immigration is our name.
Oh wow.
That was nice.
Thanks a lot, Cynthia, for that introduction, including where they can contact you. I hope they can remember at the end of the program, you know, all that you said. To you, Elton, can you give a wee bit of your background?
Right. So I am a mechanical engineer specializing in machine design, specifically in pharmaceutical machinery back in India. And yep, I'm currently looking for a job now in New Zealand after completing my Master's of Mechanical Engineering. And, yeah.
Oh, oh. Mm-hmm. Very sweet, very short. I think he sounded really off, Cynthia, as to what he's looking out for. But first, coming to you, you have been in this business for 20 years. You know, what is the shift that has taken place over the last 20 years in terms of the laws, in terms of the government priorities, and what is it that New Zealand looks forward to now as compared to what it was looking in the past?
So what I believe right now is that the government really wants employers to take New Zealanders as their first option for jobs. And that's why they brought the whole accreditation policy, because what they wanted was to just mitigate all the issues that were happening with immigration before, and to make sure that New Zealanders were given the first opportunity. Therefore, they tightened the whole process of being able to recruit people from overseas. So now an employer has to get accreditation. After they get accreditation, even if they want to employ someone, they actually have to advertise and apply for a job check. What does this do? This tends to sieve out all the people who really are not trained for the job, and employers are not just allowed to take anybody they like. They do have to demonstrate, they do have to show that they have considered from the people who applied for the position, the New Zealanders that applied. They should also be willing to train New Zealanders as opposed to someone from overseas. When a person comes from overseas, they need some training. They don't know anything about New Zealand. Why can't employers train the people who are right here in New Zealand? That was what was, I think that is what brought about the change from where they were earlier.
So how far has the government succeeded in this process? Has it managed to mitigate the problems that were there earlier of, you know, fake visas, fake employment letters, and, you know, compared to that, how far has this been addressed, or is it still prevalent?
No, it's still prevalent. And if you've been listening to the news over the past 6 months or 1 year, you would find that there are rogue employers. They have brought in people and then not offered them the jobs. So people have landed here, were cramped up in a room. This is not what I'm saying. This is what I've read in the newspaper and which has been out in the news. But in saying that, this can happen any time. So with every law, people who want to violate the law will always look for loopholes. And it's just that. Now, what did the government do when they found that? Then they tried to create a migrant exploitation visa. So migrants who felt truly affected by their employment or felt that their employer was just not paying them or didn't even give them a job could make a formal complaint to immigration. But what happens even there? Some employees do not want to make a complaint. Either they are frightened or they've been, you know, they are under the misguided notion that if they complain, things become worse. Last week, I had a person in my office. He came to my office and he said, I've been exploited. I'm not getting paid the salary I was promised. And I have to work so many more hours. So can I apply for the migrant exploitation visa? I said, sure, you can. You have to give me all the details. There is a form to fill up. Are you willing to go through the process? He said, I have a 2-year visa that ends in December, around the 15th of December, can I make that complaint in December? So that the this is absolute fact that happened in my office just last week. And I say, so I said, why do you want to make it in December? Oh, then I will get 6 months from then, a longer period of time. I mean, I wasn't sure whether he was really being exploited. I said, well, you, there's nothing to stop you doing that, but be sure that you are going to be asked questions by immigration as to why did you take it? Why didn't you make this complaint earlier? You may still end up with a six-month visa. I cannot say whether or not, unless I actually go through your papers and documentation and what was the background and the what you can prove. But the fact is that if you are willing to endure what is being done to you now, that you're not getting paid and whatever, and then at the last minute you say, oh, I'm throwing my hands up now, I want to complain about the employer, even I would question what the motives are.
So you're saying that, you know, people are not truthful enough, people do not talk. They try to exploit the loopholes that are there in the system so that they can get an extension of say. Let's roll back a bit, Cynthia. Let's roll back a bit. Can you enlighten our listeners as to what are the key steps, both for people who want to suggest to somebody back overseas of coming to New Zealand, or and what they need to look at before they even start getting into the process of applying for migration? Can you just educate our listeners?
So I do advertise in India. I advertise in the Examiner Press. I advertise in the Suvartha. I get people calling me up, but they are very hesitant about wanting to believe what I say because they haven't seen me and they can only talk to me maybe on WhatsApp and I'm not there face to face. The fact is, if you want to move to another country, you should first do some research. Not just take any information that is given to you secondhand or third hand. It's very, very important for people to do some research about the country that they plan to move to. That's number one. Number two is people immediately say, can I get a job? I just do not understand why a New Zealand employer would take on a person from anywhere, whether it's India, whether it's Brazil or whatever. They've never met them. They don't know what their capability is. They have no idea whether they're going to be a good fit for the company. So there would be a hesitancy, and in fairness to employers, they want to know who they are taking on. That's what the government has been saying. Give New Zealanders a chance first. It's just the whole thing has been turned upside down again by rogue players overseas who, when this whole new accreditation rolled out, they just were selling job offers overseas. And when I have argued this with some of my colleagues who are also advisors and said, why would a person pay for a job offer? The moment you pay to buy a job, there must be some issue. And I came under a lot of flack because they said, people overseas, they don't know. They think that that is the rule in New Zealand. That's the only way they will get a job here. They have to pay for the job. I want to categorically state, please do not pay for any jobs. The moment someone tells you to pay for a job, you know it is hocus pocus.
So, Cynthia, you say that the potential candidates or the potential people who want to immigrate they need to do their research. That's understandable. But in India, people, particularly India, they all want to be spoon-fed. Tell me what it is. Tell me what it is. Tell me what it is. Okay. But looking at it from the New Zealand perspective, what are the type of jobs that are mostly there on the government list for which qualify for immigration or qualify for speed of immigration? And how does this juxtapose with the guys back in India when you tell them, hey, this is available, can you do this? And what happens? Can you just share a little bit about it? Because, somebody's like me saying, hey, I've got this particular gadget here and it can do this. But it is of no use to the guy whom I'm trying to sell it to.
Mm.
So what's the difference? What is there on offer here in New Zealand? And what is the target audience? What are they expecting?
Look, in New Zealand, most jobs are always supported with a qualification. Even if you want to be an electrician, you have to have a qualification. If you want to be a plumber, you need a qualification. In India, where I come from, no qualifications are required to be an electrician or be a plumber. Those jobs are considered, I don't want to be politically incorrect, but they are considered kind of lower down the ladder than doing a master's in business or doing an MBA. So, if I tell someone, why don't you come and do a 3-year qualification and become an electrician, they would think that I'm crazy or what are you even talking about? Because that's not a concept that they are familiar with. Yeah. They are familiar with doctors, lawyers, nurses.
Yeah.
Well, if doctors come here, they've got to requalify. If lawyers come here, they've got to requalify. MBA is not one of those fascinating degrees like it is in India or even the States. I mean, and it even in India, it depends on where you do your MBA. Unless you do it in really good institutions, nobody cares.
The diamond dozen in India now.
If I tell, some very capable Indians who have probably done a bachelor's in information technology, but they tell me they want to come to New Zealand, and I say, you know, why don't you consider doing a teacher's training course, a master's in early childhood? Especially, you'll have a family, you'll have young children, it will be a help. They just look at me shocked. I think things are changing a bit now, but they look at me shocked. They would say, no, that's not what we'd want to do. I want to do a master's in business. Well, good luck with that, because there aren't that many jobs.
So let's shift the focus to Elton a bit, okay? Yeah. So Elton, you heard Cynthia talking about the so-called checks one needs to take before you actually... How did you go about the process?
So it all starts when you are working in India and then you realize this is not the life I want to be living.
Right.
So you start looking for other alternatives, and the only other alternative is moving abroad. And you have two options. One is you either directly migrate to a country and then find a job and things like that, or you go there as a student, which I did. I came to New Zealand as a student and I'm now looking for a job. So it's for Indians, especially for students who are freshly graduating, it comes down to, okay, I need to go abroad to do a master's, or I need to do something that is going to give me a work visa abroad. But the ground reality, when you go abroad, it's completely different. You are struggling right from day one to complete assignments and then to meet ends meet. So my question would be, is when someone wants to move abroad and they're considering the path of studies, what should their second consideration be?
Okay. I'm Indian, so I can afford to say this.
Yeah.
But in India, we are very spoiled.
Yep.
When we go to college, we go to college. We come home, everything's done for us. We sit on the table.
That is true.
We have our meal.
Yep.
Dishes get washed. Clothes get washed. Ironing is done. We don't do anything. This little boy who's had everything, has gone and studied, got a first class. Grand. The parents are so happy. He is their star. Then they say, okay, we can afford it, so let us send him abroad. So New Zealand. All right. He comes to New Zealand. He lands here. There's nobody to do his washing. There's nobody to do his cooking. There's nobody to do any cleaning. So, oh my God, I was not prepared for this.
But I am okay with the cooking, the cleaning, everything. I do it all. And I'm not complaining about that.
That is number one.
That is one.
You've been here a while already, so you got used to that.
Yes.
Yeah. So that would have taken you some getting used to initially. After that, you have the 20 hours of work.
Yes.
You have to balance that with your assignments. In India, it's all rote learning. Yes. Everything is by heart. Question, answer, question, answer, question, answer, question, answer.
Yep.
Most of the time. In New Zealand, you do research. You go online. You find out the best way to write your answer. You might find Google. Now they use ChatGPT. Do not do a copy paste because you will be in serious trouble.
Yes.
Yeah. But you can get your ideas from there.
Yep.
What happens when you do this kind of learning? It actually makes you think outside the box. You are thinking much more about your qualification than you would have done with a straight question answer.
Definitely.
Correct? And then you came and did a master's, so you get a 3-year post-study work visa. Now you have your opportunity to find a job.
Yep.
And you'll have difficulty getting into a workplace straight away. I always advise all my clients, take the job. Take the job. Because the moment you have a job, it doesn't matter where. You want to work in Pack and Save as a checkout person, please do. You get into the New Zealand way of life. I have clients who say, I've done a master's in IT. I'm looking for IT jobs and I can't get any IT jobs. And I am getting customer service. Please take the customer service job till you get your IT job. That is why it is an open work visa. You have your options open. And once you have experience in a workplace, you will be able to get better jobs. People will look at you. You say, I worked here, I worked here, I worked here. And maybe they will give you better opportunities.
So Cynthia, I just punctuate you there. Can you elucidate once again this concept of open work visa? Because there is a general perception that once I'm post-master's qualified, I'm master's qualified and work. So I'm... The work visa should be
only mechanical engineering
or only IT engineering. So can you elucidate on this aspect of open visa to work, and how does it impact your continuity of getting extension of your visa?
Okay. An open work visa allows you to work anywhere.
So you can do any job.
Want to become a cleaner, you become a cleaner. You have no restrictions to your open work visa. The idea of getting an open work visa is so that you are able to find a job in your area of interest and education. Yes, of course. That's why you studied. Mm. That's why you paid all those international fees. But that does not stop you from taking any other job and having some steps to actually get there.
Yes.
So is that your understanding, Elton, or is there some...
Yes, because now currently I am working as a customer service representative at a radiology on Dominion Road. Mm. So that was the job that came my way. I said, I'm doing it. I don't care how much I'm getting paid right now. I need the job.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing currently till I am able to find something in my field of study. Though I'm constantly applying to jobs and I'm also working that. So as of now, I am fine with what I have.
Right. Okay, just tell me, Cynthia. Say, for example, Elton gets a job which pays him that median wage. Can he convert his visa? Though he is on a mechanical engineer, he is in customer service, he gets the medium wage.
Look, there are skill levels in jobs.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And we follow a Australia-New Zealand standard classification of occupations, which we call ANSCO.
ANSCO, yeah.
And it has to be within a skill level 1 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, depending on... And the job title actually is not... so important.
Important.
What is important is a job description.
Mm.
So people generally say, oh, can I take this? This is a job title. And I say, doesn't matter. Show me your job description.
Yeah.
And then we will see where we can fit you in.
Yeah.
Into the ANSCO. Does it fall into a skill level 1 to 3?
Mm.
You may have done a qualification in a particular area, but those skills would help you to do the job that you're doing. And as long as you can show that you have
transferable skills,
you can make a case for yourself.
Yep.
Yes, you have to be paid according to the median wage, whatever it is. Mm. And you can only count, since you've done a master's, you would need a 1 year work experience. You can only count the 1 year work experience when you're actually getting paid the median wage for 1 year in a skilled job, which is a skill level 1 to 3.
Okay.
There are skill levels 4 to 6, but there the wage rate is much higher.
Yeah.
So, Cynthia, I think you're making some very wonderful points.
Yeah.
And I think my listeners... So, my listeners may gather some good ideas or good points from what you're making. One point I think you should sort of emphasize, which I believe, is that there is something called dignity of labor in this country.
Absolutely.
No matter what job you do, it is immaterial in their social circles.
Absolutely.
Which is not so the case
in India.
Back in India. Yes.
So I think this is one aspect that people need to understand. It doesn't matter what job you do here. Mm. You get a fairly same rate of wage based on your skill sets that are required for the job. And if the skills are higher and you go to another job, then you get paid accordingly to those skill sets. I think the second aspect which you emphasized is, and this is where most of the economies or the countries are moving towards, which I find it's a common phenomenon, is skill-based work.
Mm.
Nobody looks at your degrees. And this is one of the aspects which I realized fairly down the track after coming to this country, is that they look at your skills, the ability to talk, the ability to write, the ability to present your matter in a very succinct manner is what counts. And so this is a trend which is now currently in vogue in the US, which I'm given to understand, where students, no matter which university you come from, they are first picked up from their schools if they have the right skill set. So I think these are the aspects I think you may be trying to communicate with the people overseas, but they don't seem to understand.
What I also want to communicate to the people overseas is, please deal with licensed immigration advisors. Don't go to touts next door who think that they know everything about immigration. They don't. And they will just lead you down a wrong path, because they say, I know my son went there at that time, or they don't, because the immigration policy keeps on changing. One more thing, Richard, that I want to add in a workplace is, yes, employers don't normally bother about where you did your qualification. They want to know that you can handle the job. And your likability factor and your fit within the company is very, very important. I'm not saying that we have to all bend over and do 10 salams to our employer. But just being abrasive or not turning up to work or taking multiple sick leaves, or there's one thing I'm sorry I always notice among Indians. If they don't turn up, they're always sick. Even if they make an appointment to come to my office and they've forgotten, it's because they were sick.
Yeah.
And I find that absurd. Come on, grow up. Valid excuse. Say, I'm sorry, I actually double booked, or I just forgot. And people might like you better if you are honest and say, okay, yeah, that dumb person, you know, they forgot. But at least they said they forgot.
Cynthia, our Indian standard time is called Indian stretchable time. They never come on time, never. I'm telling you, at any point of time, you tell appointment is such a surgery. Oh, there was traffic. When you're in Auckland traffic. So, yeah, we get those kind of people.
Yes.
Definitely.
So, let's listen to some music.
Some music.
And take a breather.
Okay.
Do it, do it, do it.
toy tuka ruba 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 tumi aikata sushega dan par konkani radio program xn4.so planet fm away dan amcha sangata aja samjo east baptist lobo immigration advisor cynthia sen gupta ani amso young elton demello okay elton is trying to get his way through in new zealand and I'm confident elton with your positiveness you will be able to make it there so elton you had a question at the break and I would give you that opportunity to shoot it
I want to interrupt this just for a minute
yep. Please go ahead.
Elton, you need to come to Cynthia Sengupta of All About Immigration. Call me on 021-048-6721. I'm going to my website.
I'm going to be booking my appointment right after this show.
Excellent.
There you go.
So shoot, Elton.
Right. So my next question is, if a person does happen to get a job that is on the green list. So when we speak about the green list, does the green list only consider roles that are high paying, low paying, or is it that there is a shortage in a particular area and that's why it is on the green list, or how does it work?
So there are a whole list of occupations.
Before you answer, I'm completely zero about this. What is there? Is a green, orange list?
Green
white
list.
So there is only green or
green
orange?
List. Where if you do manage to get the job title that is on the green list, as per immigration, you can directly apply for residency.
Okay.
Again, I need to correct this.
Yeah.
It is just not the job title on the green list.
Yeah.
So with every job that's on the green list, when you click on it, and if you think the title suits you, it will come with a whole list of requirements.
Yes.
Skill list.
Which has to fit that job. So you would be able to apply for that job on the green list, not based on the title of the position that you got, but look at what the requirements said for that job on the green list and see whether it fits the position that you have been offered. That is why I said you need to come to Cynthia Sengupta of All About Immigration.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole list is there, but you have to go beyond the list.
Yes, because every particular position will have its requirements.
Right. So it's not just that if I have the title of a mechanical engineer, which is currently on the green list, I cannot apply for the residency visa or...
So what Cynthia has been harping about in our earlier session is that it is skill set that matter, okay?
Right.
So when there is a job that is advertised, so most of us, let me tell you our own experiences, Baptists and ours experience, okay? So when they advertise, they have a job description. So
yes.
What you need to have a JD first.
Yes.
So the job description gives all the set of requirements for the job in terms of skill sets that you
right.
have. Okay. Also, they look at how old you are or how experienced you are. They can assess from your CV.
Yes.
Okay. So what happens in this process is that if you're too high for that position, they will not consider you because they'll find that you'll get frustrated in the next 2 months. If you're too low, then there's a huge amount of training to be
that
put
they
through
have to give you.
So it's like at least you need to hit 70 or 80% of those skill sets. So what you need to look is, what we have been told and what I keep advising others is, read the job description 10 times.
Right.
And read it from a Kiwi's perspective, not from an Indian perspective that you have, you know. Ye mujhe malum hai yaar, I know this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no, you have to look at it from their perspective. That's what I understand. Cynthia is saying, that is what been my personal experience, or even Baptist's personal experience.
Yeah, and just to clarify further with the green list, it's yes, that is one. There is a salary requirement, which is the other.
Right.
And there is a specific qualification requirement that they will have for each job. So it may be different under the skilled migrant category, but the requirements under the green list may be far more narrow. So it's very, very important when you choose a job title to go and see what are the details mentioned under the green list as being the requirements for that particular job. And then you can apply. If you blindly apply, you might find that, oh my God, I've paid the 6,000 whatever for my visa and I actually don't meet the requirements. And then please don't blame an immigration officer, because they just throw their hands up and say, what do you want me to do? I was an immigration officer, I should know.
So step back once again, Cynthia. Tell me, there's a bit of sort of weightage given to being in certain areas for the job and certain other areas for the job. I've worked in the health sector, and a lot of nurses came and took up jobs in the rural areas or non-urban areas. And obviously there is frustration because family is there, schooling is there. The type of roles that some of them did was not really matching up. But they had these point system. Now, what would be your advice to many of these people? Because ultimately they all want to come back to urban centers. What would be your advice to some of them who have no option but to take up these roles?
Please take up the role. Take up the role that you're getting and keep working there. Number one is, first of all, you've taken the trouble of coming away from your country to another country. Moving cities should be the
least of your bothers.
The least of your problems.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you're getting a job that is not in Auckland, and I have all my friends in Auckland, but they've told me to go to Nelson. Well, Nelson is beautiful. Please take your job in Nelson. When you start working there, you might end up loving it, or just wait till you get residence and then try again and move. But don't quit your job before you get another job. That's another story. I have people who say, I just don't like this job. I just resigned. Why? Please take... I mean, please take another job. Apply. Get another job. Then resign your job. If you are getting a job in a smaller city, in another place, outside of your comfort zone, and you are in New Zealand, my advice is, please take the job.
Elton. Yes.
I am open to relocating anywhere in New Zealand as long as someone's ready to give me a job.
Oh, wonderful.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Nice. Very
what,
good.
What about you, Baptist? Are you looking for your already...
For changing?
Yeah.
I'll change people, not myself.
Well, some of us have been here a while.
So it's a privilege now for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 25 years I've done my jail term. Three jail terms, actually.
So Cynthia, we are pretty delighted that you've come on our program. You've given some, you know, hard facts that are there on the ground. You've spoken what the government wants, what the immigration policy is, and what the new immigrant should do so that he or she can get the type of
residency
that they are looking out for. I have one this final question, and this is something to do with your profession. In the current scenario, there are more people leaving the country than the people who are coming into the country. Is there a big challenge that you have in convincing people to come to New Zealand?
I actually don't. When you're talking about net migration, Richard, it's something that is global, I think. And periodically, it will happen.
Mm.
And a lot of people say, oh, there are a whole lot of people going to Australia. Well, there are a whole lot of people coming back from Australia.
Mm.
Australia is not as rosy as some people would like to believe.
Mm.
Okay?
Yep.
Number one, I know, I've been there, I have friends there. I would never relocate to Australia. Nothing wrong with those who want to go. Also, please remember that New Zealand is a place where you can live pretty close to where you work.
Mm.
It's, of course, there are a few maybe who are working in Manukau and actually live in Henderson or live in the North Shore. But that's a choice they make. Whereas when you go to Australia, a lot of people have to live on the outskirts to have their lovely homes, and they spend a couple of hours traveling each way. I know, I have friends who live there. So you spend a lot of your life in the train or in a bus, and that's really true.
Mm.
People say, oh, you know, the same job that you would get $32 an hour here, you'll get $45 in Australia. Sure. But you pay higher rents. You travel a lot more. So you've got to decide for yourself, what is your quality of life? What is your purpose? Does it make a difference? I chose New Zealand because of the lifestyle. I love the lifestyle. I love the beauty of New Zealand. And anyone who comes here and is only coming here with the view of, I'm coming here to get the New Zealand passport so that then I can go to Australia, well, they've already come with an incorrect mindset. And therefore, they would never make it in New Zealand.
Mm.
When I left India, I was told, you're going to New Zealand, go with both your feet. Don't keep one foot here and one foot there.
Mm.
That's what a lot of us do.
So, Elton, yes. I will give you the first choice.
Yes.
You can make your pitch to the wider community, to all the listeners, who you are, what job you're seeking, and what is the skill set that you bring to the table. Just a minute.
Right. Okay, so I'll start with my full name first. My name's Elton DeMello. I have a Master's of Mechanical Engineering, which I completed from AUT. I previously worked in India for about 5 years in the pharmaceutical machinery manufacturing sector, where I took design machines right from scratch till manufacturing, production, setup, everything. And then I came to New Zealand, and I'm currently looking for a job in the mechanical sector. Would prefer a mechanical design job, but I'm open to whatever mechanical roles are available in the market.
Your contact number?
My contact number would be 0204928006.
Okay. You want to say it again?
0204928006.
Thank you, Elton. And over to you, Cynthia, to give your final spiel. And how would you help?
So if you want to contact Elton for a job, you have to just contact Cynthia Sengupta, because now he's got to contact me, right?
Yes.
My number is 0210486721. And I'd just like to end with this. Whether it's a partner visa or skill demand, we at All About Immigration will help you with a steady hand. It's not just forms, it's care. It shows. We will navigate the highs and lows. A family hope, a student's plan, a worker seeking to be in high demand, like Elton. We listen, we fight, we negotiate with grace, and help you find your rightful place. So if you dream of New Zealand shores, know we are with you evermore. Your story matters, bold and true. All About Immigration is all about supporting you.
Wow.
Thank you.
That was lovely.
You.